Oh, Mr. Tommy, Mr. Tommy, don't you?
Don't I what, Betty Lou?
Don't you know we're having a party with Quaker Oats and everything? Yum, yum.
The makers of delicious Quaker Oats present for your enjoyment the Quaker Party. And tonight we hope to double your pleasure by having two of everything. First, our two guest stars will be the Oklahoma Oracle, Cal Tinney, and the mysterious man of mystery, The Shadow. Doubling in the music department, we have Larry Clinton's ensemble with B. Wayne, and last but not least, that double voice artist, Tommy Riggs with Betty Lou. Right now, Larry Clinton, doubling in brass, starts us off with his own arrangement of Old Man River from Showboat, with Ford Leary, our trombone player, doubling and singing.
Don't say nothing, but he must know something, because he just keeps rolling, keeps on rolling along. He don't plant potatoes, he don't plant the cotton. Them that plants them is soon forgotten, but Old Man River keeps on rolling along. You and me, we sweat and slave. My body's all aching and a strike with pain. Oh, tote that box, lift that pail. Get a little drunk and you land in jail. I get so weary, so sick of trying. Tired of living, I'm feared of dying. But Old Man River keeps on rolling along. So sick of crying, I'm tired of living, I'm feared of dying. That Old Man River, he keeps on rolling along.
And now we give you the man whose double voice will double your enjoyment with his double crossfire monologue, Tommy Riggs with Betty Lou.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and Dan Seymour. And I know little Betty Lou wants to thank you, too, don't you, honey?
Oh, yes, I do, and thank you very much, everybody. And Aunt Agatha, too.
Aunt Agatha? What's the idea of bringing your Aunt Agatha into this?
Because she's here tonight, that's why. She's sitting right there in the front row, too.
Where? Oh, you mean that pretty lady with the little wart?
Oh, not so bad, Mr. Tommy. That's my Uncle Charlie.
Wait a minute. I'm afraid you didn't understand me, Betty Lou. Maybe I'd better explain.
Well, could you do it a little later, Mr. Tommy? I have to practice my dance now.
Your dance?
Yes, the one Aunt Jemima's teaching me. Here it is. Look. One, two, left kick. Three, four, right kick. Peel the apple, Susie Q, shag on down, so there too. Oi!
I see. Your Aunt Jemima taught you that, Betty Lou?
Uh-huh. And it's a very newest dance, a tired feet flugy.
And did Aunt Jemima tell you why it's called the tired feet flugy?
Yes, because it came right in after the Lambeth Walk. But don't you?
Don't I what, Betty Lou?
Don't you want me to dance now?
Well, it would be all right, but, honey, in our listening audience, the people can't see you.
Oh, well, I could do something, too. Are you surprised?
Well, no, but what is it?
Well, Miss Wayne is teaching me singing, so there, too.
Oh, is she teaching you the fundamental principles?
Yeah, no, I'm just singing, Mr. Tommy.
No, honey, I mean, has she tried you out on the scales?
But gee whiz, Mr. Tommy, just as long as your voice is all right, it doesn't matter how much you weigh, does it?
No, Betty Lou, but I mean these kind of scales. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Oh, yes, I can do those good, too. Only I have to do them with the piano, so if you'll come over here, I'll show you how, too.
Well, shall I play them for you?
Oh, no, thank you. I do everything myself. Do, re, mi, fa, fa. Do, re, mi, fa, fa. I think I better try that again.
Yes, Betty Lou, I think you had.
All right, now listen. Do, re, mi, fa. It's no use, Mr. Tommy. That old piano is out of tune.
Well, honey, let's not bother with the scales anymore. You just sing a song of sixpence for us, and all will be forgiven.
Well, gee whiz, Mr. Tommy. They'll have to play that on the piano. So if anything goes wrong, why, you know it isn't me, so there, too, huh? In the land of Bango Bango, lived a king they called Fandango. He loved to sing and he loved to eat. He'd call for pastry with his meat. And every night they sang until the rafters rang. Sing a song of sixpence, pocket full of rye. 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. When the pie was opened, the birdies could be heard. Instead of starting in to sing, they gave the king the bird. Now listen, king, you've got to swing. That's exactly what we mean. All swingaroos must go in too. So where, oh, where's the queen, huh? Say, this doesn't make sense, said the king, what silly words. Just sing a song of sixpence. So sang those sassy birds. Put that king down.
He's a brain down. He can't swing down.
Oh, so sang those sassy birds. Go!
Delicious Quaker Oats. That's the healthful, taste-tempting cereal that over the span of half a century has become America's favorite hot breakfast. Delicious? Yes, Quaker Oats gives you the hearty, satisfying flavor of good, ripe whole grain, passed through 10 separate ovens in the Quaker roasting process. Healthful? Of course, we all know that. With protein to help build strong muscles and firm, solid flesh, iron to help enrich our blood, and the kind of food energy we need for lasting strength. And we know now that oatmeal is a rich source of that extremely important, precious health food element, vitamin B1 or thiamine, without which perfect health is impossible. Thiamine acts as a food for nerves throughout the body. It is an aid to digestion. It is absolutely necessary for normal growth in children. It is required for buoyant energy. In fact, it is really a vitalizing spark which our bodies need if we are to look our best, feel our best, and think our best. Quaker Oats is economical, too. Delicious, healthful Quaker Oats for 5 people cost less than the price of a 2-cent stamp. And this healthful, taste-tempting cereal can be so easily prepared in just 2 1/2 minutes. So make it a daily habit to enjoy America's favorite hot breakfast. Quaker Oats and Mother's Oats are the same. They are the same in thiamine content. And both have the famous double rich flavor that comes from Quaker's special roasting process. Remember to ask your grocer for the big economical package of delicious Quaker Oats or Mother's Oats. Order a package tonight.
This is Tommy Riggs again. Our Quaker party guest tonight is a young fellow who is rapidly gaining national reputation in the field of humor. He's a lecturer, syndicated newspaper columnist, and a star in his own radio show, that Oklahoma Oracle, Cal Tinney.
Thank you. Thank you, Tommy. I'm sure glad you said my name on the end of that build-up. I was curious to find out who it's going to be myself. I'm just an old country boy trying to stay off relief.
Well, I really mentioned everything, Cal, in case your folks were listening in.
Oh, they are. You know, they got a heap of admiration for you back in Oklahoma, Tommy.
Really?
Yes, sir. They say that lots of folks these days are talking to themselves, but you're the only one who can make a living at it.
But by the way, Cal, what part of Oklahoma are you from?
Oolaga.
Oolaga? Is that really the name of a town?
Yes, sir, it is.
Sounds like a cross between a Pullman car and double talk.
Tell you the truth, sort of looks like it. Well, you know, not many folks have heard of Oolaga.
Not many folks can pronounce it. But, Cal, what can a young fella do in Oolaga to make a living?
Well, that's the only town in the world that you have. It's so wonderful, so marvelous that you have to say, oh, twice before you go and say the rest of it. Well, now, what do young fellas back there do to make a living? Some of them would like to know. Most of them become cowboy singers and sing on the radio.
Cowboy singers?
Yeah. Cowboy singer's a crooner, you know. It sings through his nose by ear. But I never could carry a tune, so that's why I came to New York.
Well, how long have you been here, Cal?
Oh, about 5 years.
5 years. Well, it must
off and on. Go back, you know, once in a while to get a square meal.
Well, it must have been quite a contrast to you when you first saw the big city.
Doggone, I should say so. I think the biggest novelty to me was the subway. Boy, that was fascinating. First time I rode in one, a man got up and gave a woman a seat, and she fainted. When she came to, she thanked him. And he fainted.
Well, if I saw that, I'd faint.
Well, and these old cowboys, you know, over here at the rodeo, I seen one yesterday. He darn near went to jail. They arrested him over there at 50th Street Station for kicking the turnstile because he couldn't hit the jackpot. You know, that subway, that first subway ride I had, the train was so crowded, a feller put his hand in my pocket by mistake.
He did? Mm-hmm. Well, what'd you do, Cal?
Well, I thought it was a custom, so I put my hand in another feller's pocket.
I see, you did that.
Yeah. They made 20 cents on the deal.
Ah, dear me. Well, it's a wonder someone didn't try to sell you the Empire State Building.
Oh, they did try.
Well, I hope you didn't buy it.
No, sir. I didn't need it. I'd already bought Radio City.
Oh, Mr. Tenney, there's a gal outside looking for you.
Oh, doggone. That must be my little niece. I asked her to come over here to play with Betty Lou. Would you send her in, Aunt Jemima?
Yes, sir. Come in, Missy.
Tommy, I'd like to have you meet my niece from Oolaga, Effie Hornpopper. Ain't she cute?
Well, how are you, Effie?
Why, I'm fitter than a young colt and twice as frisky.
You know, some days Effie just bubbles.
Well, Effie's a big girl, all right. How much do you weigh, Effie?
Well, I weigh 220 pounds. But don't you get no notions about me. I'm a career girl.
You know, Effie's working over at Madison Square Garden in rodeo. She's one of the star attractions.
Well, do you ride the bucking broncos, Effie?
I should say not. They ride me. Woo!
You know, Effie figures on staying here in New York after the show leaves.
Oh, is that so? What are you going to do, Effie?
I'm going to study singing. I was in a singing contest back home.
Really? Did you win a prize?
Nope, but I sure wound up with a mess of hogs. Woo! I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande.
Wait a minute.
Now, what's the matter, Larry? Well,
nobody can strike a woman while I'm around.
He-Man Clinton.
Now, listen, Larry, Miss Corntassel is singing. That's music.
That's music?
Yes.
Here's my union card. Come on, boys.
Hey, no, wait a minute, Larry. You haven't met Miss Corntassel yet. This is Larry Clinton, Effie.
Shay!
How do you do?
Ow! Effie, Lord, I told you not to shake hands so hard.
Uncle Cal Tinney, have you heard his radio program, If I Had the Chance?
Say, if I had the chance, I'd send you back to Oklahoma.
Ooh!
Mr. Tommy, guess what?
What?
All of Uncle Petey's pigs are here.
Doggone it, has done it again.
Larry Clinton and his orchestra accompany the lovely Bee Wayne in her rendition of Heart and Soul from A Song Is Born.
Heart and soul, I fell in love with you, heart and soul, the way a fool would do madly, because you held me tight and stole a kiss in the night. Heart and soul, I begged to be adored, lost control, and tumbled overboard gladly. That magic night we kissed, there in the moon mist. Oh, but your lips were thrilling, much too thrilling. Never before were mine so strangely willing. But now I see what one embrace can do. Look at me, it's got me loving you madly. That little kiss you stole held all my heart and soul. Ooh, heart and soul.
Mr. Tommy.
Yes, Betty Lou, why are you so excited?
Well, because if you like Miss Wayne as much as you say, I've got some awful good news, that's why, too.
Well, I certainly like Miss B. Wayne a lot, Betty Lou.
Well, then, pardon me, gee whiz. I hope those darn heat cups aren't going to start again like they did last week this week.
Well, that's just excitement, honey. Now, settle down and tell me the good news about Miss Wayne.
Well, she's going to fall in love with you this winter, so there, too.
This winter? What makes you think she's going to fall in love with me this winter?
Because I heard her tell Mr. Seymour it'll be a cold day when I fall in love with that Mr. Tommy Riggs.
Well, thank you, Betty Lou. You've made me very happy.
Well, I could make you even happier, too, by inviting you to my Halloween party Monday. Only I'm not going to have one.
But you were going to have a Halloween party.
I know, but that's the way life goes. My goodness gracious.
Well, Betty Lou, what happened?
Well, this morning my daddy said, Betty Lou, if you'll get some goblins and some black cats, when I come home this afternoon, I'll trim the house for your party.
Oh, he was going to hang them up for you.
Uh-huh. So my little boyfriend Bobby and me, we got all we could find and put them in daddy's clothes closet. And that's why I'm not going to have a party.
Because you put them in your daddy's clothes closet.
Yes, you see, we couldn't find any goblins, so we just got black cats.
Well, your daddy said to get the black cats, didn't he?
Yes, he did, but he didn't say for one of them to have kittens in his high silk hat.
Well, never mind, Betty Lou. Maybe little Bobby will give a Halloween party.
Oh, no, he won't neither, on account of because of his mother is very angry with both of us, too.
Well, what's that all about?
Well, after we got the cats in the closet, we didn't have anything to do much, so... So we played barbershop, and I gave Bobby a haircut.
You mean to tell me that you cut little Bobby's hair?
Yes, and it sort of didn't turn out so good, either.
Well, no wonder his mother's angry.
Only she's special angry because I cut Bobby's hair just like his granddaddy's.
Like his granddaddy's?
Uh-huh, with a great big hole in the middle. But don't you?
Don't I what?
Don't you know that my Aunt Sophie has been very sick with doctors and nurses and everything, too?
Oh, my goodness, nothing catching, I hope.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Well, what does the doctor say it is?
A girl.
Your Aunt Sophie has a new baby girl. Well, say, do you think maybe I should phone her?
Oh, no, she knows about it.
Well, I'll bet that baby's a good little thing.
No, she isn't either. She hollers and yells all the time.
All the time? Well, why don't they send her back?
I don't think they can. They've used her for 4 days already.
Oh, Mr. Tommy, get Betty Lou out here quick. There's a voice out there that ain't got no body wrapped around it.
What's Aunt Jemima talking about, Mr. Tommy?
I ain't talking, Betty Lou. No tongue could tell how scared I am. Oh, Lordy, here comes.
Now, steady, Aunt Jemima. At a time like this, don't you believe in presence of mind?
No, sirree. I believe in absence of the body. I was going back to my quiet kitchen and golden brown pancakes.
They're all afraid of the shadow.
The shadow? What's he doing here?
I hear him on the radio all the time, Mr. Tommy, because it's Halloween time, and so I wanted to scare everybody, too.
Scare everybody?
Yes, so I had my daddy write a letter to the Blue Coal Company asking him to come over to my party, see?
But Betty Lou, the shadow's business is solving mysteries, not scaring people. And where would I find a mystery on a program like this?
I don't know.
Don't worry, Riggs. I'll find the mystery, for the shadow knows. You just sing.
There's a garden where the flowers are sentimental hours that bloom eternally. Down the lane of love in the garden of the moon, where a couple never misses a chance to pick some kisses from off the sweetheart tree. Blossoms from above in the garden of the moon. Sweet, sweet, nothing, I'll gather on our way. Sweet, sweet, nothing to put in your bouquet. Oh, it's time that we were going to where a dream is growing. Come along with me down the lane of love to the garden of the moon. Sweet, sweet nothing, I'll gather on our way. Sweet, sweet nothing to put in your bouquet. Oh, it's time that we were going to where a dream is growing. Come along with me down the lane of love to the garden of the moon. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time...
Tommy, excuse me, please, for a minute, will you? Something's happened to Larry Clinton.
Oh, that's just his natural expression.
No, Tommy. I mean, he's disappeared.
What? Are you sure?
Well, yes, he wasn't leading the orchestra for your song, Tommy, and none of the boys know what's happened to him.
Something wrong, Mr. Tommy?
Yes, Larry Clinton's disappeared. Dan, where was he last seen?
Right over here by the bandstand.
Oh, Lordy, look at there. Blood.
Where?
Right where I formerly was.
Well, that's strange looking. Blood, it's white.
Oh, that's Clinton, all right. He's anemic.
Now, wait a minute, Tommy. This is really serious, believe me.
Now, perhaps you will need the shadow.
I don't need you, mister.
There has been foul play here, and I'm taking charge of the case. Riggs, I want you to bring everyone over here who might want to do away with Larry Clinton.
Yes, sir.
What? All these people?
Well, there's more, but I couldn't get them into the studio.
Where is the girl that was here with Cal Tinney?
Oh, I'll get her. Oh, Effie.
I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande.
Quiet, young lady.
Who said that?
I am the shadow.
Who?
The shadow.
Would you mind spelling that, please?
Men call me the shadow.
I can't understand you. We seem to have a bad connection.
I am the shadow. I am the man who strikes terror into the very hearts of sharpsters, lawbreakers, and criminals.
Oh, I see. Well, call me back next week. I don't think I need any just now.
But, Effie, this is serious. Larry Clinton has disappeared.
He should have done it years ago.
Silence, everyone. I am the Shadow.
Never heard a man introduce himself so many times in all my life.
Where is Cal Tinney?
Well, I'll get him for you, Mr. Shadow. Oh, Cal.
Let me talk to Tinney. I think he knows something about this. I'll scare the information out of him.
Yes, Tommy, did you call me?
Tinney, I am the Shadow.
Well, I'm mighty happy to know you, Mr. Shadow. I've heard a lot about you.
Don't avoid the issue. What do you know about Larry Clinton?
Nothing much. What do you know?
Well, Larry's disappeared, Cal, and we suspect foul play.
Tommy, I've suspected that since I first heard his orchestra tonight.
You're hiding something, Cal Tinney?
No, I'm not. Now, to tell you the truth, I never even heard of Clinton till I came here tonight.
Well, Larry Clinton wrote the Dipsy Doodle, Cal.
He did?
Yes.
Then put me down as a suspect.
Mr. Tinney, what do you do for a living?
Why, I'm on the radio. I have a sustaining program called, If I Had the Chance.
Well, if you'd had the chance, would you have done away with Larry Clinton?
Listen, brother, if I had the chance, I'd find a sponsor for my program.
Pay attention to me.
I'm paying attention, Mr. Shadow. I think you're very funny, too. But if you don't hurry up and find Larry Clinton, I'll tell Dick Tracy.
Don't worry, Betty Lou. The Shadow never fails. I'll find Larry Clinton. Raise the top of the piano.
Larry!
Say, Larry, what are you doing in there?
I just went inside to write a new arrangement for the Dipsy Doodle.
You mean you're going to revive that tune again?
Sure.
Did you hear that, folks?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Mr. Shadow, you've got a case after all.
Delicious Quaker Oats. There's an ideal breakfast for every member of the family from grandson to granddad because this wholesome cereal contains vitamin B1 or thiamine.
Pardon me, Mr. Seymour. I've heard you say that thiamine is good for people of all ages. Now, I'm the mother of two boys, 1 7, the other 3. Just why is thiamine so important to children?
Well, thiamine is important to all of us, young and old alike, because it is a health food element we all need to look our best, feel our best, and think our best. It is particularly important to youngsters because it is absolutely necessary for normal growth in children. Now, this is the fact on which scientists agree. Therefore, thiamine is absolutely necessary as part of your child's diet. The body does not store up thiamine, and so we should have a fresh supply every day. And oatmeal is the richest economical source of thiamine known. That's why it's so important to the whole family, old and young alike, that you serve delicious Quaker Oats at your house every day. You wise women will want to give your family the advantages of a daily breakfast of delicious Quaker Oats. Remember to ask your grocer for the big economical package of delicious Quaker Oats or Mother's Oats because it is such a rich source of the precious health food element thiamine. Order a package tonight. Next week's Quaker Party will be a truly outstanding event, one that I'm sure none of you will be willing to miss. For our guest star will be that truly great young artist of the entertainment world, that inimitable imitator, Sheila Barrett.
Oh, is she the one that says, ah-cha-cha-cha-cha?
No, no, Betty Lou, that's Jimmy Durante.
Oh, then she's the one that says, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
No, no, Betty Lou, that's Katharine Hepburn. But when you hear Miss Barrett, you'll hear all of these people and many more besides because Sheila Barrett has achieved an enviable reputation for sensational imitations of leading artists of stage, screen, and radio.
Well, can she imitate an NBC announcer?
Well, what do you mean, Betty Lou?
Well, can she say, this is the National Broadcasting Company, too?